Well, a pleasant good morning to you, and welcome to another program of Prove All Things. Prove All Things is brought to you each week by the Westlake Church of Christ. Saints, through the call of the gospel, assemble each week at 2291 Highway Z in Wentzville. Our meeting times are Sunday morning at 9:30, Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, and on Wednesday evening at 7:30. There's a strong effort in our society today to ignore the reality of sin. Like the other two S words, servitude and salvation, the word sin also seems to have been deleted from our vocabulary. In the place of sin and repentance, people now talk about self-esteem and self-love. Instead of honestly and sincerely evaluating ourselves to learn what faults are in our lives and where we need to make correction, we're now being told to just see the good in ourselves, not the bad. We're instructed to accentuate the positive, not the negative. A certain rabbi at a congregation once said, "Sin isn't one of our issues. My guess is that in 12 years of religious school, our kids will never hear the word." A principal of a certain religious school in San Antonio expressed a similar view. He said, "Oh no, that kind of language would not relate to anyone here." Friend, what in the world has happened to sin? This is a very relevant question because in our time, the fact of sin is being ignored and even worse, denied. In our lesson this morning, let's study together the very important subject of sin. Let's look at some improper attitudes towards sin. I believe this is one of the most needed lessons of our time or of any time. One of the greatest errors in man's thinking toward sin is to deny it. There's a strong effort these days among both religious and non-religious people to deny the reality of sin. This fact can be seen in the strong effort being made by man to rename sin or dilute it by calling it something far less than what it truly is. For example, instead of calling someone a sinner, we're told he is simply misguided. If he has simply, or that he has simply made an error in judgment. He's not wrong, he's just not exactly right. He didn't sin, he made a mere mistake. It's a character flaw, but not a sin. Lying is watered down to simply stretching the truth. Dishonesty is shrewdness. Alcoholism is being labeled a disease. Homosexuality is a genetic imbalance. Murder is abortion. Arrogance is being labeled self-esteem, greed respectable in this nation. Gossip is simply an American pastime, and on we could go with man's attempts to minimize sin. It's indeed hard these days to find someone who truly recognizes sin for what it really is, transgression of God's law, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Friend, whitewashing sin or denying sin altogether does not change it for what it truly is in God's eyes, a violation of His divine will. Abraham Lincoln once asked the question, "If you call a sheep's tail a leg, how many legs would the sheep then have?" It is amazing how many people don't know the answer to that question. In like manner, calling sin a genetic imbalance or murder, abortion, or alcoholism a disease does not change the true nature or avert the consequences of what is being done. It's still sin and it still condemns. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul said, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Romans 3:23 still says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, Paul warns, "The wages of sin is death." Isaiah 59 still rings out through the ages, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. He will not hear." In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, the Apostle Paul gets very specific about sin. He said, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, sin is real, and man the sinner had better take sin seriously or face eternal consequences. The great flood in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 shows us that sin is real. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Abraham says sin is real. The destruction of the Canaanite nations in the days of Israel says sin is real. And such a destruction also awaits any nation when they deny sin and the God who created them. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a shame to any nation. It is a fool who denies the reality of sin. Some men go so far as to mock at sin as if it were a joke or something funny. My friend, there's nothing humorous about sin. There's nothing wrong with good, clean humor. But to mock or laugh or make fun of sin is disrespectful of God and His Word. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools mock at sin. Foolish men make a sport of their own sins as if they were nothing. Instead, they ought to be humbled to the point of repenting of their sin, mourning over their sin. There should be no laughter and there should be no joy when sin is present in our life. Men often think that because they've escaped present punishment, they've escaped punishment forever. But Paul said in Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Many years ago, a newspaper ran this article for those in its own time who were taking sin far too lightly. It said, Babylon saw it that way, and the handwriting came on the wall. At Rome, they saw it that way and faded from power. France followed suit, and the moral decay became a cancer. And now America laughs at sin. It laughs hilariously. There's an absence of heartfelt sorrow for sin in our country. We need real recognition of sin, genuine sorrow for it, and an honest turning away from it if we are to survive. What is so funny? Are atomic bombs and broken bodies and hospitals, mental hospitals, are those things funny? Are drinking liters, shady business deals, open gambling, filthy stories, and immorality cause for hilarity? Why laugh when the moral fiber of a nation is wrenched apart by godlessness? End of quote. How dare we mock and take lightly that which is the cause of all suffering and heartache ever experienced by man? Every tear that has flowed across our cheeks or dimmed our eyes, every burden that has bent and bowed our backs, every worry that has caused a sleepless night, every thorn that has pricked our hands, every adversity that has broken our hearts, every grave we have stood beside, every war, every sickness, every disease, and much, much more have resulted ultimately from sin. How dare man mock at such an abomination as sin? Indeed, the wise man said, fools mock at sin, Proverbs 14:9. And yet some men have become so brazen as to love sin. In Revelation 22:15, the Apostle John wrote, those who love and practice lying will be lost forever. Those who love and practice lying. In Psalm 52, verses 1 through 4, David spoke of those in his own day who loved evil more than good. He said, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good. Falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour. In loving sin, men love the very thing that God hates and the very thing that will eternally destroy them and which crucified their Savior. In Romans 6:23, Paul wrote, the wages of sin is death. How would we react to a father cherishing, caressing, polishing, and caring for the very knife with which his son was stabbed to death? What a repulsive thought, and yet many love and cherish sin, the very instrument which will bring about their eternal demise and which brought about the death of Jesus. Thus far in our study, we've seen a number of wrongful attitudes towards sin. For the remainder of our study, let's go to the Bible, the true measure of all men, and see the proper attitude we need to have towards sin. We need to go to the Word of God, and we need to find, first of all, that sin is rebellion against God. 1 John 3:4 states, "Whoever commits sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is rebellion against God. The Scriptures teach that sin separates man from sinless God. Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. He's hid his face. He will not hear." This passage of truth is perfectly illustrated in the case of Adam and Eve. While in the garden, God walked and talked with them, but after their transgression, they were driven out away from this intimate relationship with the Lord. And so it is with man today. Sin deprives him of all the blessings of fellowship with God. The worst consequence of sin is eternal separation from God. Since it's true that sin separates man from God in this life, it must follow that if man will not turn from sin, he will not repent of it, then he shall be eternally separated from God in the life to come. 2 Thessalonians says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord." 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9. Unless we do something to get rid of sin, we face certain judgment and eternal separation from God. When we truly understand the nature of sin, we can say as the psalmist, "I hate every false way." Psalm 119, 104. Who can deliver us from the terrible consequences of sin? Well, John the Baptist pointed us to Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In saying this, John was revealing the very heart of God's plan for saving man. Christ was God's final sacrifice for sin. The sinless Son of God was to offer himself once, and the effectiveness of this action would be sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 5:9, we read, "Jesus became the source of salvation to all who obey him." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Through Jesus' death and sacrifice, God provided a wonderful plan of salvation. Salvation by grace through faith. How we should love Christ and hate sin. We should gladly obey all our Savior's commands. And through faith, God will forgive us of our sin. Friend, if you'd like a free copy of the lesson this morning, simply write us at Know Your Bible, 2291 Highway Z, Wentzville, Missouri, 63385. Until next week, this is Dempsey Collins urging everyone to prove all things.